Usually when we talk about a trajectory, there's an expectation of balanced physics.
Right, things naturally balance out over time.
Exactly. You launch a rocket, it burns fuel at a steady rate, and it smoothly reaches orbit. But your financial timeline as a physician, well, it completely defies that
It
model.
literally
You
does.
possess exceptional intellect, right? And diagnostic capability. You have built an absolutely massive income engine. But that massive income often creates a profound false security.
Because the timeline is so asymmetric.
Yeah. Your financial trajectory is basically like a rocket launching with half its fuel already depleted on the launch pad. The engine is enormous, but the launch is delayed by a decade.
And the burn rate is intensely high.
Right. The immediate lifestyle gravity you face upon finally reaching attending status is just immense.
And because of that delayed launch, well, the underlying mechanics of your career are entirely unique compared to almost any other profession.
So today we're doing a deep dive into a comprehensive stack of, financial white papers, physician wealth surveys, and tax code analyses.
To uncover exactly why high-earning doctors are missing their retirement targets.
Exactly. Our mission is to reverse engineer a fix. We need to dissect the structural vulnerabilities that are specific to the medical profession and build a tactical defense mechanism for your wealth.
Because the sheer mathematical disconnect in our source data is startling. I mean, when surveyed, physicians report needing an average of $4.01 million for a comfortable retirement.
Okay, 4 million. That makes sense.
Right. Yet the average male physician has accumulated only around $1.9 million, and the average female physician sits at roughly $1.1 million.
Wait, hold on. If the average attending is making high six figures, how are they missing the mark by over $2 million?
It's a huge gap.
I mean, that doesn't make logical sense. They're only about 40% of the way to their own stated target.
Well, they have the earning power, but the architectural execution is failing them.
Interesting.
The gap has almost nothing to do with current income and everything to do with timeline and a series of invisible traps.
So let's get into the first trap, which we can call the late start compound deficit. Why does a massive attending income fail to close a 60% wealth gap?
Because the simple math of time will always beat the math of income. Always.
Well, okay. Break that down for us.
So let's look at a traditional 40-year investment timeline. If you look at standard compounding growth, at the 25% mark, which is 10 years into a 40-year investing window, an investor has accumulated only roughly 4% of their eventual retirement wealth.
Only 4%. That seems so low.
It does. And even at the halfway mark, 20 years in, they hold only about 16%.
Right.
The explosive exponential growth happens at the very end, but it absolutely requires those early decades to act as a foundation.
But you, as a physician, spend that critical first quarter of the timeline in a financial waiting room. Medical school, residency, maybe a multi-year fellowship.
Exactly.
So while your college peers in finance or engineering are already compounding capital in their 20s, your timeline is effectively frozen.
And treating your training years as a waiting room, planning to get serious about money only once you hit that big attending salary, permanently deletes a decade of compounding growth.
Which is terrifying.
It is. You simply cannot out-earn lost time.
So we have to translate this diagnostic into immediate operational steps. First, you have to capture time early, even if the dollar amounts feel completely negligible.
Right, just get something in the market.
Exactly. Maximize a Roth IRA. The contribution limit is $7,500 in 2026. Put enough into your 403B to capture any available employer match during residency.
Because you aren't trying to get rich on a resident's salary.
No, of course not. You are merely activating the compounding engine so time starts working for you. But the second step is where the real catch-up happens in your 30s.
Yes, you must deploy leverage.
Right.
And a prime area where physicians misallocate capital is real estate. Do not trap your liquid capital in home equity.
Hold on, let me push back here. You're telling me to avoid putting cash into my house. Because, conventional wisdom always taught me to avoid debt, pay cash if you can, or at least put 20% down.
To avoid mortgage insurance, right?
Doesn't a massive mortgage just radically increase my risk?
Well, it feels risky, but mathematically the opposite is true for a physician.
Okay, show me the math.
Let's look at the numbers on a $700,000 home. A traditional 20% down payment takes $140,000 of your liquid capital and just buries it in drywall.
Buries it in drywall. I like that.
Yeah, and once it's in the house, it essentially stops compounding as an investment. But if you utilize a 0% down physician mortgage, a specialized loan product that doesn't require private mortgage insurance, you keep that $140,000.
And you keep it invested in the market during the exact years when time is finally on your side.
Precisely. Let's run the math on keeping that $140,000 invested at a conservative 7% annual return.
Okay, let's hear it.
In 10 years, it grows to over $275,000.
Wow.
In 20 years, that single financing decision grows to over $541,000. And over 30 years, that preserved down payment eclipses $1.06 million.
That is incredible. So you don't have to work extra shifts to earn an extra $1 million. You just have to position your capital efficiently instead of sinking it into a down payment.
Exactly.
Okay, so you've preserved your capital by using a physician loan. You've got money in the market.
Right.
But the moment that first attending paycheck hits, there's a massive psychological urge to buy the Tesla, upgrade the vacation, and get the big house.
To make up for a decade of eating ramen on night shifts.
Exactly. Which brings us to the liability and lifestyle singularity.
The underlying mechanism driving that urge is what behavioral economists call debt numbness.
Which makes total sense. I mean, the baseline liability is staggering. For the medical school class of 2025, 70% carried educational debt.
With a median balance of roughly $223,000.
Right. And the data shows it's accelerating. By 2026, the four-year cost of attendance is averaging nearly $298,000 for public schools.
And an agonizing $408,000 for private institutions.
It's just wild.
It's the denominator effect in action. When your brain is already anchored to $250,000 in negative net worth, your risk receptors get flooded.
So adding a $50,000 car loan feels statistically insignificant.
Exactly. It's just a rounding error on a mountain of debt.
But the real-world exposure of that numbness is brutal. Your savings rate completely freezes or quietly shrinks exactly as your peak earning window begins.
Yeah, it vanishes.
The income is there to close that $4 million retirement gap, but the lifestyle inflation consumes it instantly.
It really does.
And look, we get it. When you're working 80-hour weeks, treating yourself feels like a survival mechanism.
Absolutely.
But trying to build generational wealth without aggressively protecting the income engine first is like building a multi-million dollar surgical center right on a major fault line.
Without earthquake insurance.
Exactly. One bad tremor and the whole foundation cracks.
And we have to quantify that tremor. Roughly 1 in 4 people will become disabled before reaching retirement age.
1 in 4.
Yes. For physicians in physically demanding specialties, surgery, emergency medicine, orthopedics, the odds of a career-altering injury are even more precarious.
That's a huge risk.
If you lose your ability to practice in your 30s without proper protection, you don't just lose your current income. You permanently destroy your ability to fund all future investments.
Which means the operational directive here requires rigid defense.
Hmm.
First, lock in a 20% to 30% gross savings rate.
Yes.
And the easiest behavioral hack to do that is to direct at least half of every future income increase directly into savings before it ever hits your primary checking account.
Just remove the temptation entirely.
Right. Second, verify your public service loan forgiveness or PSLF eligibility before you even think about refinancing your student loans.
Because refinancing with a private lender permanently strips you of the federal PSLF protection. You cannot undo that mistake.
Good point. And finally, neutralize the income vulnerability entirely. Secure an individual own occupation disability policy immediately. Actually, explain why that specific phrasing, own occupation, is so critical.
Well, it is entirely non-negotiable. Own occupation ensures the policy pays out if you cannot perform the specific specialized duties of your exact medical specialty.
Okay, give me an example.
So if a neurosurgeon develops a slight hand tremor, they can no longer operate.
Right.
A generic disability policy might argue they could still teach at a medical school or work at a clinic and refuse to pay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Own occupation pays the neurosurgeon because they can no longer be a neurosurgeon, regardless of what else they might physically be able to do.
Makes complete sense. Okay, let's assume you have the defense mechanisms in place. You have the disability insurance. You've locked in your savings rate.
Great.
The next massive blind spot is the single engine account trap and fiduciary hazards. You have the capital flowing, but the sharks are starting to circle.
And physicians are highly intelligent, but they are also exceptionally time poor.
Very true.
That makes them the ideal target demographic for commission brokers. You have the income to qualify as an accredited investor.
Which suddenly opens the door to complex, opaque offerings like hedge funds, private real estate syndications, and variable annuities.
Exactly. These are heavily marketed to doctors as exclusive opportunities.
but they almost always carry astronomical internal fees and severely underperform simple, low-cost index funds over a long horizon.
Right. And while leaking capital to those high-fee products, physicians simultaneously fail to utilize the multi-engine tax advantage space that is uniquely available to them.
Which is crazy because you are in the highest marginal tax brackets. Leaving tax advantage space empty is a massive unforced error.
It really is. So let's map the exact sequence to stack these accounts because this is where the architecture really matters.
Okay, lay it out.
First, you max out the 403B or 401K. The employee contribution limit is $24,500 in 2026.
But the combined employer and employee annual additions cap goes all the way up to $72,000, right?
Yes. And if you are an older listener, legislation like the Secure 2.0 Act offers enhanced catch-up contributions that push those limits even higher.
Good to know. What's next?
The next layer is a massive structural advantage. Many physicians miss entirely the 457B.
Okay.
If you are employed by a hospital or a nonprofit, you can often contribute an additional $24,500 to a 457B plan.
Wait, really? I can do both. I always assumed a 457B was just the nonprofit equivalent of a 401K. You had to pick one.
That is the exact misconception that costs doctors millions.
Wow.
Yeah, the 457B limit is entirely separate from your 403B. You can max them both out in the exact same year, hiding nearly $50,000 of income from your current tax bracket.
That is huge. Okay, third in the sequence, you execute the backdoor Roth IRA strategy. Explain the mechanics of this because it sounds like a loophole.
Well, it is kind of a loophole. Your high attending income phases you out of making direct contributions to a Roth IRA.
Right.
But the tax code allows you to contribute to a traditional non-deductible IRA and then immediately convert those funds into a Roth IRA.
And because you didn't make a tax deduction on the initial contribution, the conversion itself doesn't trigger new taxes.
Assuming you don't have other traditional IRA balances, exactly. That secures another $7,500 in 2026 that will grow completely tax-free forever.
That's incredible. Finally, you max out the HSA, the health savings account, if you have a high deductible health plan.
Yes, it is the only triple tax advantage vehicle in existence.
The money goes in pre-tax, it grows tax-free, and it comes out tax-free when used for qualifying medical expenses.
Exactly. If you skip even one of those engines, you are bleeding tens of thousands of dollars annually to entirely avoidable taxes.
And the operational rule for managing all this capital is binary. Immediately fire any financial advisor who is earning commissions from the products they sell you.
You must hire a fee-only fiduciary who specializes in physicians.
Right. Make sure they are vetted through an organization like NAPFA, the National Association of Personal Financial Advisors.
That registry essentially ensures they are legally bound to act as a fiduciary.
Explain the difference for us.
So a true fiduciary has a legal obligation to put your financial interests ahead of their own.
And a commissioned broker.
A commissioned broker only has to meet a suitability standard. That means they can legally sell you a mediocre, high-fee product simply because it pays them a massive commission.
So if they are not a fee-only fiduciary, they're a hazard to your wealth.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we have corrected the launch timing. We have shielded the income engine with disability insurance. We have optimized the tax vehicles and fired the salespeople.
A solid foundation.
But even with perfect financial architecture, the entire system can still drift aimlessly if it is suffering from terminal drift. You are moving fast, but without exact exit coordinates.
And the behavioral data tells a very concerning story here.
What did this survey say?
Well, according to the surveys, 58% of physicians retire after age 65. Meanwhile, the general American workforce typically exits between 62 or 64.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Physicians are highly compensated, yet they're working significantly later into their lives. With a $400,000 income, math dictates they should be able to exit a decade earlier, not later.
Exactly.
Is it just because they love medicine so much they can't bear to leave?
It is rarely born out of a pure, unadulterated desire to keep charting at 9 o'clock at night or dealing with hospital administration.
Yeah, I figured as much.
It is deeply rooted in financial anxiety and the impending loss of professional identity. The one more year syndrome runs rampant in medicine.
Because you never formally calculate an exact retirement number, your savings approach has no anchor.
Right. You put money away, you hope it's enough, and you just keep working until retiring finally feels safe.
And the tragic part is you end up working years, sometimes a decade longer than mathematically necessary.
Which is exactly what we were trying to avoid.
You sacrifice your own time simply because you didn't do the math on your own exit. So the implementation directive is to permanently eliminate the ambiguity. You calculate your exact target using the 25X rule.
It is a straightforward, highly effective diagnostic. First, estimate your annual spending in retirement.
A safe baseline is 70% to 85% of your current expenses, since you won't be saving for retirement or paying payroll taxes anymore.
Exactly. Second, subtract any guaranteed income streams, like Social Security.
Right.
Finally, multiply the remaining number by 25. That gives you a portfolio designed to support a 4% safe withdrawal rate indefinitely.
Okay, let's run a clean example. Say your annual spending need in retirement is $200,000.
Okay.
You expect $50,000 from Social Security. That leaves a gap of $150,000 that your portfolio must generate.
Right.
You take that $150,000, multiply it by 25, and you get a highly specific target of $3.75 million.
It is no longer a vague guess. It is exactly $3.75 million.
But calculating the math is only half the equation, isn't it?
Yes. You must intentionally design the psychological side of your exit.
Because medicine gives you profound purpose, immense structure, and a built-in community.
Exactly. If you do not plan for what fills your days when the pager stops going off, you will experience a massive void.
You are transitioning out of an identity you spent decades building. If you don't know who you are when you finally take the white coat off, no amount of money in a 457B is going to make that transition smooth.
No, it won't. A retirement that actually functions properly is not just financially funded, it is deliberately psychologically shaped.
Which brings us to the core truth of this entire analysis.
Financial independence is not a mandate to quit medicine. It is the absolute structural freedom to have a choice.
Right.
It allows you to practice on your own terms, reduce your clinical hours, or walk away the moment the administrative burden outweighs the joy of patient care.
You have spent tens of thousands of hours mastering the complex physiological systems of the human body to preserve the lives of others. The ultimate question is, how many hours will you dedicate to mastering the structural mechanics of your own wealth in order to preserve your own time?